This is my keep in my purse trapped. This is my I need to keep my hands busy in the midst of meetings.
I call that emotional support crafting. Welcome to Stitchology, where we craft with intention, guided by God's grace. I am Pastor Tina Krog, and I work alongside the good folk at St. Jacob Lutheran Church in Massillon, Ohio.
And hello, I am Angel Jackson, she, her, and I work alongside the folks of St. Jacob's, North Canton. And we do get those confused, but it's a great overlap.
It totally is a great overlap. So this is the first week of our Mother God Stitch Along, and I thought it might be good for us to check in and share what crafts we were working on today. I am working on a watercolor embroidery. I'm making clouds. What are you working on today?
I love it. I am working on this is my keep in my purse craft. This is my I need to keep my hands busy in the midst of meetings. So they're dishcloths. It's knitting a dishcloth, but it's small enough that I can just keep it in my purse and pull it out when I need it. So that's what I'm working on today.
Yeah, I call that emotional support crafting.
Yeah.
So is knitting your go-to?
Knitting is my go-to. I knit and crochet. I think my mom tried to teach me when I was little, but I really took it up in seminary. My dear friend Adrian Meyer and I were in seminary together, and she taught me to crochet, kind of stuck by me, you know, through that initial kind of like, I love crocheting. It's so relaxing. And then walked with me through that. And then my friend Jess in the same time was also living in Chicago, and she taught me to knit at the same time. So I tend to switch back and forth. Knitting is probably my favorite. But when my kids were little, my Sophie was a toddler. I was working on a sock, and she just pulled like every single little knit. And so then I just crocheted until my kids got old enough to not do that anymore. So I switched back and forth based on whatever kind of what I'm trying to create and what makes the most sense there. So yeah. And your craft of choice?
I like the fiber arts myself. I am 100% invested in the stuff I can do tactilely with my hands. Mm-hmm. Cross stitch is my primary. And I came to cross stitch after I had my second miscarriage. I needed to have a surgery afterwards. And I wanted to create something because I was feeling really empty, and I wanted to be able to sit on the couch. And I get too hot when I crochet.
Yeah, Afghans will do that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the only thing I've ever crocheted is I get way too hot. So I tried cross stitch and I fell in love. Mm-hmm. And I every once in a while dabble again into the embroidery stuff, but like my home base is
nice. Is
the cross stitch for sure.
This is not our first kind of working together.
No.
We've been doing this for a while in various things. We've paused a couple of times based on life kind of things. But one of our very favorite ways to start our conversations when we're working together is to take a moment to notice where God has been at work in the world around us, and telling each other that story about how that is, I think helps. Like hearing your story about how God has been at work in your life mm-hmm. this week helps me be more aware mm-hmm. and on the lookout mm-hmm. for how God is interacting in my life. So I cherish that chance. So I feel like since we're together, I really do want to hear where God has been at work.
I love that because I also get a little buzz when I see God working through your stories. So my takeaway this week comes from a group of different cross stitchers that have this collaboration called the Subversive Cross Stitch. And these are all different artists that do a bunch of snarky stuff. Like these are the folks that have the cute profanity cross stitches or the, you know, the social justice cross stitches, which I love. But what I really appreciate about them is that about a quarter time throughout the year, they pick a charity and they do a series. They work together and they create a series of patterns. And then the patterns go to the person, you know, who purchases them, and the funds all go to a good cause. And I just think that's really extraordinary. And I love the collaboration. I think that's really cool. I love that they can see that their snark is for good. And I love that these are our artists that are paying it forward.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Yeah. So what are the ways you have seen God in the world this week?
So like I said before, I have two children. And the thing about having children is you kind of think that you'll be able to pass down the things that you love to your children. I guess God thinks it's a lesson I have to learn over and over, but it turns out my kids are not me.
I get that. I say right? to Jillian all the time, I'm like, whose kid are you?
Who are you? I know, like, it turns out they're their own people. And so, which is a joy. It really is a joy. But, you know, at first it's a little bit of a jolt sometimes. So they really, like, I've taught both of them at various times to knit and crochet. They've gotten involved in various crafts, but they haven't really, you know, they dabble, which is great because you should take your time to figure out and do many different things in life. Mm-hmm. But this week, they have both had some really, really cool moments where they found their own passions and really like succeeded and lived out those cool things. And so Asher was on the stage, their first stage debut this last weekend, getting to be in The Music Man. And so that was really fun. I have never seen them dance a choreographed dance before. And they were, it was like, and the joy, that was really it, right? Like the joy on their face when they lived into those gifts that God has given them. And so that was super neat. And Sophie had this great awards assembly for speech. It's a really, really long season. And we finally finished the season and they had an awards and assembly, and she got a special coach's award for her positivity and the way that she brought that to the rest of the team. And so it's
that
really
is
cool.
So
it's
Sophie.
So cool. I know it is so Sophie, but it's so neat to see them, like, even as I'm like, okay, those are not my passions. That's not me. It's neat to see them living out their gifts.
And then you get to get exposed to these like little worlds that you would never have known had they not been a part of that.
Well, my favorite thing about it is one of my favorite things about crafting too, is that like it bonds people together, right? Mm-hmm. Like the theater and speech and debate both give you that community sense. And I've definitely found that even through like when I go to a meeting and there's somebody else with their knitting, there's like that instant bond.
So I gotta say, I have yet to go to a meeting where someone else is cross stitching.
Oh.
So y'all cross
stitchers. Pastor Tina's going to the wrong meetings, isn't she?
Yeah. And you guys need to step it up. Like if knitters are allowed to bring their stuff, so are we.
Yeah, I wanted to say I think, and this is bad, I should fact check, and I will after we have this conversation. I think I was reading a book about Barbara Brown Taylor, and I think it's her who takes her knitting to meetings, and she vows to not say whatever she's thinking until she reaches the end of a row. So she uses as intentionality to make sure the thing that is worth saying is worth saying and can wait, and then comes back up. So I thought, oh, that's really,
yeah,
it's a really cool concept.
So. That is, I can think of a few people who could benefit from that, perhaps myself included.
Definitely could. Yeah, I definitely could.
Yeah. So this particular, we're calling it a stitch along, but it could be a craft along. We are centered around the idea of the feminine images of God. And we have selected our name after the book Mother God, which is a picture book, which is fantastic. We will put a link in the show notes for you to see it. So I can't do it justice. You're just going to have to take
That's
a peek.
Beautiful.
And a question I get a lot from some of my folk is, does it matter what we call God?
That's so funny, because as we were approaching this topic, I was thinking back to my own, like having just entered seminary, and my grandfather is not with us anymore, but he was a person who poked at people. That was the way he showed love, right? Like it was his like he, but I called him once and was describing all of the things. It was even maybe in college, and describing things I was learning in college. And just out of nowhere, he goes, you know, God is a man. And I was like,
what do you think, Grandpa? Like, Nice to talk to you,
too. I think it was pretty much a, like, let's start a fight. Like, which I think is just, oh my. But, right, like, we don't actually believe that God is a man, even though we use he, him pronouns. Like, pronouns are for the sake of just, like, ease in not having to say God all over, you know, like, mm-hmm. But we don't actually think God is a man. And it's probably important to say we're also not saying that God is a woman.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, we are saying that God is beyond gender. Mm-hmm. And that men and women are created, both are created in God's image, and that God is, like, way, way more than any of us can understand. But in the midst of that, right, the reason we're expanding this, so it's like, so fine, it doesn't matter if we call God he, right? Like, mm-hmm. That could be the, and yet I think it does. Why do you think it does?
I think it matters because I have a tendency to put God in a box. Mm-hmm. And the more I can reframe how I think and visualize who God is, the more I am aware that I belong to God and God does not belong to me.
Yeah. So it's like a letting go of the control.
It is. And this is why I study, like, the theology of art, because what we say and think and the language and images we use shape us. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up in a church where there was Warner Salmon's White Jesus everywhere. You know, the one where he, like, Jesus yeah. looks like he's in a studio portrait and he's got the long flowing locks and those brown eyes and he's looking at you all smirky like, and then I came to see, like, the Jesus that's behind me on my shoulder, who's like a Middle Eastern Italian looking Jesus. And I'm like, oh, like, wait a second, that's a different way of seeing. So yeah. having these different words and images to think about God helps me not put God in a box.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, it was getting to college. I was at Capital University and did a religion degree, which it turns out once you get there is different from Sunday school. And I was there and I grew up, you know, like, it, when we say he pronouns, father is the image, right? And it's very biblical. Our Father, right, is the way God or Jesus started his prayer. And that always made sense to me. Mm-hmm. That was, like, a really comforting image to me because I love my dad, right? Like, yeah. I had a really great dad.
Yeah.
And so that made sense to me. It made God approachable. Mm-hmm. And yet when I got to college, I heard someone's story about having a father who's abusive. Mm-hmm. And that how going to church and only hearing those comparisons and getting that mental picture of from the Sistine Chapel of, like, the, you know, like, white, old white man in the sky really made it so hard for her to connect with God. Mm-hmm. And so that was, like, eye-opening for me.
Yeah.
To think about how then having some other very biblical images for God, right? Because the Bible is full of, like, each one getting just a teeny piece
yeah.
of who God is. Having those other images made God more approachable to this person. And that was, it was good to hear that perspective because it was not my experience.
That really resonates with me because I don't have any personal challenges with the father or the he language for God myself, but I really struggle with the victory language about God as a conqueror. I know people love that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. I'm a survivor of domestic abuse from a very early age, and having that lack of control over my environment is very upsetting for me. And so thinking of being totally at the mercy of God in violent, conquering sort of way, like, for me, that hits all of my trauma buttons. Mm. And so when we sing those hymns, like, I have a hard time singing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which is like a Lutheran anthem, because of that. I think we're on the same page here, but it's always good to double check. We're not taking a narrow view of who God is. We're trying to expand.
I'm not advocating for getting rid of the Lord's Prayer because it refers to God as Father, right?
Right.
And actually, when I do my personal meditation, my mantra is Jesus's own Abba. And I kind of do like breathe in Abba, breathe out Father. And so like, it's a great image. And if it's the image that you connect with God and that makes you feel loved and beloved, then absolutely. We're just learning about all of the beautiful images about God that help us to connect and have a slightly bigger image. We're never going to have it all, right?
Like, no.
Now we see through a glass dimly. Eventually, we'll just like be in God's presence and then we'll know, but who knows? In the meantime, it's always going to be a partial. We just want it to be a fuller, partial view of who God is.
This has all been good, but this is a Bible study. So let's get into it. Let's take a look at the creation story in Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis 1, verse 1, and then we're going to move to the end, starting at verse 24. But before we get to that, I wanted to share with you a translation by Dr. Wilda Gaffney, who is just an amazing scholar and who does a lot of work on language and helping us rethink how our societal upbringing limits how we can imagine what scripture is trying to tell us. And Dr. Gaffney has this fantastic translation of Genesis 1, verse 1. When beginning, he, God, created the heavens and the earth. The earth was shapeless and formless, and bleakness covered the face of the deep, while the Spirit of God, she, fluttered over the face of the waters. I never heard that term about bleakness before. It was always like the deep or the face of the dark or something like that. I really, really love that about the bleakness.
That sense of emptiness and that which has not become yet.
Yeah.
I like that too.
So do you want to pick it up for us at beginning with verse 24?
I have the Common English Bible. God said, let the earth produce every kind of living thing, livestock, crawling things, and wildlife. And that's what happened. God made every kind of wildlife, every kind of livestock, and every kind of creature that crawls on the ground. God saw how good it was. Then God said, let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on the earth. God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground. Then God said, I now give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds and all the trees whose fruit produces its seeds within it. These will be your food. To all the wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food. And that's what happened. God saw everything he had made, and it was supremely good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The heavens and the earth, and all who live in them, were completed.
I love all the details that are put in this, all of the seeds and the creeping and the crawling and the all that stuff. Like, it's so attentive.
Yeah. It's not all inclusive, right? Like, and not meant to be. So I always have to kind of remind myself, this is not a science textbook. This is not like a description of exactly how. It's just like a poetic way of saying that God created all of the things. And let's just pick the couple we can see right now and name like how intimately God was involved in their creation.
I really love that. And when I was designing the pattern, I was trying to figure out how to create this sense of God being a creator. And turns out not easy to do in a, you know, 6x6 inch pattern. So I chose to use flower images because of the connection to the seeds, which you'll hopefully be seeing as you're stitching along this week, the sense that it just covers the ground. What I also was struck with was I was thinking about how the seeds are just such a primal part of creation, and there's so much focus here to these seeds.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what they end up bringing forth, like, it's like possibility, right? It's like the creation of possibility, and then, you know, kind of letting them go and seeing where they end up.
Yeah.
That's really lovely.
So why are we saying that this creation aspect is a feminine image?
That's a good question. Partly our ability to give birth, do you think?
I do think that that's part of it. I think that personally for me, and perhaps this is because of my own journey with infertility, is thinking about the nurturing that has to go with cultivating this new earth. It makes me think of your mom and the gardens. Mm. Her mom is like, she's like the miracle worker when it comes to seed and soil. She can put anything in the ground, and then like 2 days later, she's coming over with buckets of asparagus and she's saying, here, I've got all this extra food for you. And I see that as a very feminine image. And I see that a lot in this creation story.
In the abundance, right? Like, I don't know. My mom still plants a garden. Whenever I go to her garden, I say, you remember only two people live here now, right? Like, she still plants the garden as if there were all five of us at home. So that sense of abundance is, I think, a God thing.
Yeah. And that knowing that all those details have to be taken care of before humanity can come into the mix. And these are, we're playing with traditional gender roles here, but I think about in my households, when we go on a trip and someone has to do the packing and the preparing of what everybody's going to eat and what all that stuff is going to be, like, that is my job. Mm. That is not my husband's job.
Yeah. And a lot of the creative pieces of caring for a family have also, you know, like, creative in the sense of things that, you know, like, traditionally making clothes and providing food and the baking of the bread and all of those creative aspects often were the part of the woman.
Does it do any harm, do you think of all of those roles as potentially masculine responsibilities?
No.
Does it do any harm to think of them as feminine?
No, I don't think so, right? Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, the reality is that traditionally they have been, right? Mm-hmm. But we can all, I hope, name examples of folks we know of both genders that have been mm-hmm. engaged in those kind of things.
So what do you make about this image business, being humanity being made in the image of God's likeness?
Well, I do know that part of this has played into my call as a pastor.
Oh, yeah?
Only in that my call has been questioned in the past. And one of the times was when I was pregnant on internship, and I had someone tell me that they had trouble seeing me as God's representative while I was pregnant, that my pregnancy was getting in the way of them because their sense of who God was masculine. And that, like, really clear indication of my sex was interfering. And that, I mean, that has been a way traditionally that people have struggled because men were considered to be made in God's image more than women in some faith tradition.
I just cannot help but first be like, you're the pastor, not God.
There's that. But like, God's representative. Like,
yeah, as if you're more than God's representative than any other person, right? Like,
There was a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack. We're here to do pastoral care and are always happy to talk about any of these topics if we're stirring things up, because already we've hit a lot of
big things
and tough things in this conversation. And so we'd love to hear your story and walk with you through it if these are touching your own kind of buttons, because they're clearly touching some history for the two of us.
So. Yeah. Which is part of why we do this work, is to see where God is in the process of this.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of our Mother God season of Stageology Crafts. If you love what you hear and want to support the show, consider becoming a sponsor. Your support helps us keep bringing you quality content week after week. Visit our website to learn more about sponsorship opportunities. Together, we can make a difference in the world of devotional crafting. See you next time.